And may he truly bless every one of us this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We welcome everyone to the Resurrection Morning Worship Service, where we come to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Today is our Thanksgiving dedication. Special thanksgiving for those who have it. And our baby dedication take place today. And the marriage thanksgiving and the rest. So, we need to rush the time so we close in time. We want to go straight to our Bible study. It's now a Sunday school. I expect people to listen very attentively, because this is the essence of our faith. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Proverbs 4 verse 18. The path of the just.
But the path of the just is as the shining
as
light.
As the shining light.
That shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
It shines more and more unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, no distraction. Let all the movement stop. Please, let the lady come and sit at the back. Anybody who is not in now, please don't come in till the service is over, then the person can come in. Can we go on now? Amen. Amen. Listen very well. In my introduction of this series, I made it clear that we are being brought before further light. Listen, church, the difference between the bride, the group we call the bride of Jesus Christ, the difference between us, what makes you the bride, is a revelation. Nothing more. It's revelation. Amen. It's not the way you dress. Because the way you dress is supposed to be a reflection of a revelation. The way we act, the way we live our lives, is supposed to be a reflection of a revelation. Apostle Paul made it clear in the book of Hebrews, making reference to Abraham, the heroes of faith. And he made it clear to us there that Abraham looked for a city. It's a revelation he saw. And that is the place God promised him. And he looked forward to that city. Amen. And because he was looking forward to that city, to see that city, he knew that where he was in the land of Canaan, wherever he was, is not that city. Therefore, he considered himself a stranger where he is and a pilgrim, because he was in a journey to that city God showed him. Hallelujah. That is the impact of revelation. Amen. That is the impact of revelation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whichever lifestyle you adopt now is a reflection of revelation. I still repeat. Even last night, I was talking with my wife. I repeated the same thing, that what I discover is that, and please disprove me, that the biggest or the highest or the worst hypocrites that exist on earth are found in the church. The biggest, The worst, I don't know, what would I use to describe them? If you want to look for graduated, confirmed hypocrites, go to the church. Those who call themselves Christians, you find them among them. I didn't say all Christians. I said that is where you will find them. That is where they dwell. Why do I say you are a hypocrite? I say you are a hypocrite because, amen, you are in church. You gave your life to Christ and go to church because you have caught a revelation of salvation. You are hoping to go to heaven. And the book God gave us that will guide us to heaven, every Christian has it. And that book tells you those who will go to heaven, see what is expected of them. And those who will not go to heaven, see those they are going to hell. See, this is the qualification. Those who do this and do this and do this, they will go to hell. And those who do this and do this, they will go to heaven. And then you are holding that same Bible, and everything that is written here that those who do will go to hell, that is what you are known for. That is hypocrisy. What the difference between you and a prostitute outside, an armed robber outside? They know they are bad. They know where they are going. They know they are going to hell. But you are deceiving both yourself, in fact, and deceiving everybody, making everybody see you as somebody going to heaven. You dress very well. You sing very well. You even see vision. You are even a pastor. You are a prophet. You are a mighty evangelist. You own a big church. But everything they say, those who do that will go to hell, you are involved in it. You are a hypocrite. Church, listen. I was telling my wife again last night another very disturbing thing. What did you come to church for? What you come to church for is what you will focus on. Oh, it is what brought you to a church that you will focus on. Praise the Lord. I used to remember years back, even in this ministry, somebody will come and meet me and complain. Did you see how that sister dressed? Did you see how that sister dressed? Did you see how she dressed? And then, so I said, but we greeted. We greeted us. I even shook her with her. I didn't see it though. How, you didn't see it? I'm coming to church and I'm greeting someone. Then you want me to sit there and be inspector of dresses? When I step into this church, my mind is so focused on my spiritual life and what I will benefit, that except it is so obvious, I won't see it. Because it's not my focus. But there are people that when they come, all they do is looking inspector of people's characters in the church. And you concentrate so much on others, you forget yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Until you see some of these things happening in the world, even in the church, even in the church, people set up traps. PDP, APC, PDP, political parties. People are in the church and they have enemies in that same church. And when they are praying, anybody against my progress is having a church member as that enemy. You know why I'm saying this? I'm talking to people who are heaven bound. Don't allow this spirit to catch you. It's not everybody coming to church that wants to go to heaven. By their fruits shall know them. Praise the Lord. Now listen, I want to go to heaven. And I have known since that I am never going to go to heaven because I am a Christian. I mean, I'm a pastor. Nobody is going to heaven because of the gift you have. Nobody is going to heaven because of the office you occupy. If not, the Pope of Rome will be number one in heaven. But we know his number, where he's going. He's number one there. Praise the Lord. If I know this, then I also know that if I go to heaven at all, I am also going to give account of my ministry. How do you think somebody like me will live my life and do my ministry? Praise God. Brother Christian from Netherlands, I believe you are joining us now, you are watching us. On Monday, you asked me a question. Because I have taken teachings before, I am now correcting it. I found out that I didn't get a complete picture of some of those topics I taught over the years. In the light of further revelation.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I've decided to correct myself. Amen. I am not ashamed to say I am wrong. Because I have a responsibility. If I have people following me, then I must be sincere. I will make sure that I don't mislead them. Now, Brother Christian from Netherlands, you asked, to what extent can you trust a pastor who taught you something and you believed it and you were following? Then small time again, he changed. He said, no, that is wrong. He said, can I trust such a man? To what extent can I trust such a pastor? And this is my answer for those of you who didn't hear it. Amen. I will trust any man of God to the extent that I confirm his sincerity. Once I confirm that a man is sincere, I will put my trust in him and follow him. Because I know that the day he discovers that he's wrong, he will redirect us to the right path. He's not proud. The reason the denominations are not correcting their doctrine is insincerity. They know that they are wrong, but because they have been saying that error for so long, they are afraid to correct it. And that is the sin that lieth at the door for them. But me, if tomorrow I discover I stood before the whole world and made one error, I found the truth, I will come back immediately and correct it. Because I know there are people that are following me. And some of these teachings we have been taking over the years. I have even told the IT people, Bright TV, to bring down some of those teachings. Because when I listen to them on the television, as Pastor Moses is preaching on the television, I hear myself saying something. I say, yay! That's why I talk calm. Because I know better now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'm not just saying I know, I am proving it from the Bible.
That's right. Woo.
Praise the Lord. I am proving it from the scripture. And I'm doing this at a risk of losing so many friends who were following me in that era and are not able to retract themselves because either they have not seen it, and if they have not seen it, then I count myself very privileged that God has opened my eyes to see it. Amen. And I will not compromise because of friendship. I better fall out with man and be right with God than be right with man and be acceptable by man and fall out with God. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 is what we are going today. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets.
Listen very well to this scripture. It's still on the screen. Listen very well. It's still on the screen. It's still on the screen. But, listen very well. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, it means there are seven angels. And they have a voice. They are saying something. He said, when the seventh angel shall begin to sound, when that seventh angel shall begin to sound, he said, the mystery, one mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants, plural, the prophets, plural. Listen, there are two major things for us to learn, and each one is a sermon, it's a teaching. The first one is that the seventh angel's voice. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we are supposed to know who is this seventh angel and when does it sound and where is it in the Bible. And the second one is the mystery, that one singular mystery should be finished. And this mystery has been declared to the servants of God. So what is that seventh angel? Or who is that seventh angel? Where is he in the Bible? And what is that mystery? For today, we want to look at the mystery first before we will look at the angel that will be sounding and that mystery will be rounding up. So today we are going to look at that mystery. Praise the Lord. Salvation, the word mystery, mystery is a fact that is shielded, coded, encoded. Unless it is revealed, it will remain a mystery. Amen. And salvation is a mystery. And this mystery, hallelujah, this mystery concerning the salvation of mankind, it is that is the mystery. Listen, Jesus Christ, this salvation can only be understood if God himself reveals it to you. And when you are justified, the just shall live by revelation.
Hallelujah.
And without revelation, faith, it is impossible to please God, because you won't know how to walk with him. That's why some people think that righteousness means don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't fornicate, don't commit adultery. That is righteousness. That is not righteousness. That is only a part of righteousness. You have to be righteous first before you will be able to stop fornicating. Fornication, adultery, lying, gossiping, anger, malice, and all these are the evidence of unrighteousness. It is when you are unrighteous that these things follow you. But when you are righteous, then these things can't come around you. So what is righteousness? And we have taken that before. Praise God. Please, I want to be sure everybody is hearing me. At the far end of the auditorium, please, if you are hearing me, can you shout hallelujah? Can you hear me very well? Can you hear me very well there? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Please. Do something. Do something about it. I'm not talking to air. I'm talking to people, and they should hear me. Where are the technicians now? I didn't see them move that side. A serious problem, but we're trying to rectify it. Please bear with us. We have even engaged a professional sound engineer to take care of this. We are sure by next Sunday it will be better than this. Just increase the volume for this. I want a very important message like this. Everybody should hear it. Please bear with us, those of you online, please. It's too loud, my phone is too loud. Please. Amen. Can we go on now? Any improvement there? If you can hear me loud and clear from that side of River Jordan, shout hallelujah. Better? From Moab, from Galilee. The women of Galilee, can you hear me over there? Shout hallelujah if you can hear me. It's too loud. Go down, but it's too loud. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Listen. Matthew chapter 13. From verse 10 to 14. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to tell them about the kingdom of heaven, about the church, about this mystery. In a crusade, he was talking to them. Thousands of people will come out to listen to him. Instead of talking plainly, he will talk in parables. Verse 10, Matthew chapter 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? What did he say? Listen to that answer if you're a Bible student.
Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Again.
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you.
Now listen, he said, it is given unto you. Hey. It is given unto you. To do what?
To know the mysteries of the kingdom
to
of heaven.
To know the, who is this you? The disciples. It is given unto them to know the mysteries. Not one mystery here. Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but
to them it is not given.
But those of them who are outside there, it is not given. What's the reason?
For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath.
Verse 13.
Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand.
Verse 14.
And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive.
Go to verse 34, 35 and 36.
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without the parables, spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables.
In parables.
I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
I will utter things which are kept secret from the foundation of the world. Verse 36.
Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.
You see? So, and then he explained the meaning of the parable to the disciples. But the rest that were in that crusade, he left them with their own theological interpretations. Even to know who Jesus is. This is what Jesus Christ told the disciples in Luke chapter 10 and verse 22.
All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
Again, he says, no man knoweth who the Son is. Nobody knows who Jesus is. Only the Father knows who he is. But if I ask you now, you say he's the Son of God, he's this, he's that. And nobody knows who the Father of Jesus is. Only Jesus himself knows. And the only one that we know who his Father is he to whom the Son will reveal him. And that is why in Matthew chapter 16, he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter immediately said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, no man revealed this to you. But my Father said, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, because only him knows who I am. Amen. For you to know, he must tell you. And those who didn't know what happened, they killed him. That's what you see in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2, 3, and 4.
And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land. The great temptations which thy eyes have seen, the signs, and those great miracles.
They saw all the signs, they saw all the wonders in the wilderness, but see, yet, what happened in verse 4?
Yet, the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day.
Because it is only God that can give you the eyes to see and understand. That's why they were behaving anyhow, and that's why many of them did not reach the promised land. The purpose of this teaching is for you to see the privilege God has given you.
Hallelujah.
To be where you are in God's agenda for redemption.
Amen.
That knowledge of that privilege determines how you relate with God. It's a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Read it from verse 7. And keep reading until I tell you to stop.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
We speak this wisdom of God in a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom.
It has been hidden. Hidden from when?
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
He ordained it before the world was even formed.
Hey. Which none of the princes of this world knew.
None of these kings knew it. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know it.
For had they known it, they would
all
not...
those kings didn't know it. Potiphar didn't know it. Herod, Pharaoh didn't know it. All the Caesars didn't know it. And come down again to Israel, even Gamaliel didn't know it. Praise God. Read on so that you see the privilege we have.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord.
If they had known who Jesus is and what is the mystery of his appearance, they would not have crucified him.
But as it is written, I have not seen, nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit.
He has revealed these things unto us by his Spirit.
For the Spirit searcheth all things.
Yes.
Yea, the deep things of
God.
You
see why we should have the Holy Ghost? That is why the Holy Ghost, one of the purposes is that he will teach you. He will lead you to all truth. That is the purpose of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you will only be reading this Bible and walking by the letter of the Bible. It's good to have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not given to you to see vision and cast out demons only. It is given unto you to know the mysteries of redemption. Go on.
For what man knoweth the things of a man,
uh-huh,
save the spirit of man which is in him?
Uh-huh.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
The things of God, only the Spirit of God knows. Therefore, all this while you are saying, Lord, I want to know, I want to know. Somebody, one pastor was boasting that he studies for 9 hours in a day. Sometimes 9 hours. In fact, he said before coming to church that day, he has already studied for 2 hours. There are people that are reading to get their doctorate degree. They read, praise the Lord. They read for sometimes 24 hours. In a day. What becomes of you when you come out after 9 hours of a study? All you will find out is that water baptism has expired. All you will find out is that communion is gone. No more communion. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you have a doctorate degree. Jesus looked, hallelujah, and said, Father, I thank you.
Amen and amen.
That you have hidden this from the wise and prudent and revealed these things to babes like us.
Hallelujah.
Who didn't go to school?
Amen.
Amen. I love the statement William Branham said. He said, I may not know how to read this book because I didn't go to school, but I am satisfied that I know the writer of the book. I know the writer of the book. I am satisfied. Praise the Lord. We don't boast because we study too much. Because we speak big grammar, Greek lexicon, Hebrew lexicon, and then confuse yourself. At the end, you are off the gospel and you don't even know it. Because the things of God can only be known by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
If you don't have the Spirit of God, it will be not even an academic exercise. And that is theology. William Branham will say, it is not theology, it is neology.
Amen.
On your knees.
Silently now. Amen.
He says, silently now. I wait for the ready my Lord. I will to see there is understand. Let's finish that reading, please. Let's continue.
Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
If you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
but the Spirit which is of God.
Yes.
That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Uh-huh.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth,
yes,
but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Uh-huh.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of
at
God.
At all.
For their foolishness unto him, uh-huh, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Uh-huh.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things.
Yes.
Yet he himself is judged of no man.
That's right.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
We, thank you. We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, Christ instructs us. In Luke chapter 24, verse 25 and verse 26, get the language written there.
Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Uh-huh.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets.
He was on his way to Emmaus after his resurrection. They were all wondering, see what happened. They say, can it be true? They say he resurrected. They say, and he appeared among them. And he was walking with them. Oh, glory be to God. But they didn't know he was the one. Unless God opens your eyes to see Jesus, he will be with you, sleep with you, wake up with you, heal you, deliver you, promote you, give you husband, give you wife, give you money, and you will still not know that he is the one. But he did something. Go on.
Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets.
He went back to the Old Testament and all the prophets.
He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
But that is not enough. Go on.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went.
Go to verse 44. He continued, and by the time we come to verse 44 and verse 45.
And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre.
Luke 24, verse 44.
And he said unto them,
yes,
these are the words which I spake unto you.
This is Jesus speaking.
While I was yet with you,
yes,
that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures.
It was only then he opened their understanding. Somebody here, may the Lord open your understanding to understand scriptures in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why we love to sing that song. Open my eyes that I may see.
Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Blessed in my heart, thou wonderful King. Thou shalt on the mount and set me silently now. Oh, silently now. My way.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Enter message believers around the world. I have said this several times and let me repeat it again. This is how they read this scripture. They say, but... are we there? Revelation 10:7. This is how intermediate believers read it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he, singular him, shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. As he has declared to his servant, the prophet. Amen. And we are following them. Contrary to what was written, we were repeating what they were saying until God bent my neck to see what I'm supposed to do.
Hallelujah.
It says, one mystery. Why are you people saying mysteries? Now see the danger of that revelation. I mean, of reading it like that. Amen. The danger is that if you believe that it is one prophet and that prophet is William Branham and that all the mysteries will be revealed, then you put a full stop because there is no other revelation again. William Branham has said it all. Therefore, his sermon books will have to be more important to you now than the Bible. So they have kept the Bible away and they are holding on to the sermons and sermon tapes and sermon books of William Branham until you have churches who will not preach anything but just play the tapes. They bring one tape and play the voice of William Branham. I have attended one or two of them. I even attended Branham Tabernacle some few years back. I attended there. I thought they were just doing Sunday school. If William Branham on the tape, he said, "Praise the Lord," everybody in the church will say, "Hallelujah." And by so doing, they became cultish. But that is one part. But as far as God is concerned, they put a full stop. Therefore, no more progress spiritually. They end where William Branham ended. So, before you know what, they have deified William Branham. Every word William Branham speak is thus said the Lord. Although I have been fighting this since I came among them in 1990, I told them, "How can you do that? How can you talk like that?" William Branham was a man. They would say, "Brother Moses, you have not understood the message yet." Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Moses is not in the message. It's not in the message. There are women are covering hair. In Branham Tabernacle, where William Branham pastored, where the women covering their hair with any scarf, Brother Moses is not in the message. He doesn't read sermon books at the pulpit. He doesn't quote William Branham. He's always quoting Bible, quoting Bible. He's not in the message. A pastor in Abuja wrote it. I decided to keep that write up so that one day I will face him with it. He wrote me to say they are doing everything to take the people to the sermon books. Me, I am here using the television, using everything, and pulling people away from sermon books to the Bible. That is my offense before him. Praise God. Last Sunday, I went for an occasion. One of the pastors in the entire message, a very close friend of mine, was celebrating his 80th birthday last Sunday. My wife and I were there. We met some other pastors there. And when we were talking, about three of us there, we were talking, and I quickly told them, I said, "Listen, you people, instead of coming to ask me the secret why my church is bigger than your own, you people are busy marketing William Branham. I am marketing Jesus." Praise the Lord. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. Lift William Branham. There is nothing in William Branham to draw men. It will only draw idol worshippers, idolaters. And that is who they have become. They hate me with perfect hatred, and every opportunity I have, I don't spare them in case there's a seed among them that we hear come out. Praise the Lord. No wonder God chose me to give me these revelations. Because now I will look at you and amen. You preach the gospel with respect to persons. I attended one of their meetings at Ilorin some 2-3 years ago. And the big men, the big ones who have been in this message, some of them, they are the ones that even baptized me. They are sitting down there. And one of them there is held like this. He's an apostle. He's an apostle. And when it was my turn to preach, I told them it's a denominational spirit that you want to move from pastor and become apostle. You were apostle. And I turned and looked at you and said, "Sir, with all due respect to you, you are in error. There's nothing like apostle now." Okay. Oguajo, you were in that meeting. You heard me. They were there. Their eyes red. The red eye become the hard eye I was speaking. Stop this nonsense. You people are making this message unattractive. Praise the Lord. And I'm saying it now for the whole world to hear. A lot of things we were preaching before was an error. Listen, I asked them, even last Sunday, one of them was telling me, Brother Abraham, reveal all the mysteries. And I said, can you give me one mystery that will Abraham reveal? He said, what the water baptism? I said, look at you, because you don't read. Do you hear of a group called Oneness? They have been baptizing in the name of Jesus before William Branham's ministry started. They call them Jesus only. They baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And to start with, is it a mystery? It was a practice of the apostles. So, is that a mystery? A mystery of the Godhead. I said the oneness people believe in one God. They kick against Trinity. What of the seals? I say, is it William Branham that revealed the seals? With all, please, and I apologize for it. I have stood at this altar and said, no man knew anything about those seals until William Branham. I found out later that the man called Clarence Larkins, it is what he preached that William Branham preached. And he preached it long before William Branham's ministry started. I ordered for the book. If you want to see it, I have all the books.
That's right.
I speak with authority. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's not William Branham that gave the revelation of the seals. It's not. It's not William Branham. Even serpent seed is not William Branham. By God's grace, we have come across materials that have disproved some of the things we are saying. We were repeating what people were saying, and we want to repent and correct ourselves before the whole world. I'm not the only one into this, because I was surprised. The pastors from Ghana, the prophet Joshua, where is Joshua? Oh, sorry, he has gone back to Ghana. Together with the pastor? Okay, he has gone back. What of Pastor Emmanuel? Well, I was discussing with him, and all these things I'm saying, they heard me preaching it, and they went to go and also investigate, and they found out that that's the truth. So they too are going back to their churches and correcting it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It is expected of us to be faithful. I will allow you to ask questions when the time comes. Praise the Lord. He didn't hear me, he's just coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, for anybody to say, they will say, even the mystery of the marriage, it's a marriage and divorce. It is William Branham that brought us. How can you say it's William Branham that brought marriage and divorce? How can you say that? And all that. That is what they mean by the mysteries to be revealed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I had cause to discuss with a brother, a very respected brother, in this message, who invited me to his house. I was there with my wife. From about 4 p.m., we were discussing these issues till after 11 in the night, until my wife slept off. Amen. And I made my points clear, and I pray that God will open his eyes to also see it. But he made a statement. I want to say so that in case you meet people with such belief. He said, William Branham is the first man that was adopted. You know what is adoption? He says the one that is the first to be adopted. There is a way they package the ministry of William Branham, and you can't help but to deify him. First and foremost, I believe that William Branham has a ministry, and his ministry affected me.
Hallelujah.
When I came to Christ, I had a lot of questions about the Christian faith that were unanswered, until after a particular period of prayers, I came across this group and I read his books. He died in 1965, and I came across him in 1989. And it was only through the ministry of William Branham that all the questions were answered. So nothing can make me doubt the ministry of William Branham. But the problem is placement, where to place him. That is where the problem is. You place him as the seventh angel of Revelation 10:7, I say he is not the one. I will prove it. Just be listening to me. Praise God. He is not the one. Amen. People like Olumide find it very difficult to cope because he went too far. Brabram say. So when I open and I show him, he will scratch his head. Say, what? Amen. Amen. Those who are sincere, they will catch it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So now listen. That is not the mystery. He said, the mystery, one mystery of God. Amen. Should be finished as he has revealed to his servants, yes, the prophets. And when you say the Bible usage of the word prophet can also mean preachers, teachers of the word, and it also means those who are occupying the prophetic office in the Old Testament, not the fivefold prophets. Now, if he says, as he has revealed to his servants the prophets, there are this one singular mystery that is written there, amen. To explain it, there are other mysteries. There are other mysteries. And I have about 7 or 8 of them that together make up this one singular mystery. Let me give you some of them. About 8 of them or so. The first one is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus Christ himself gave those 7 parables in Matthew chapter 13. Then, the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles, it was Apostle Paul as he revealed to his servants the prophet. Apostle Paul is the one that brought that up. If you are writing it down, you see it there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 23 to 32. And Romans chapter 16, verse 25. And Ephesians chapter 6 again, verse 19. Paul received that mystery. The third one is the mystery of the translation. That's the rapture. And it is Paul also that had that revelation. And you see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and verse 52. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. Number 4, the mystery of the church as a bride. That's why we say we are the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a mystery. You see that in Ephesians chapter 5, it is revealed by Paul, verse 23 to 32. Number five, there is the mystery of the indwelling Christ dwelling inside of you. It's a mystery. The man be in Christ. It's a mystery. And unless it is revealed to you, you will think that the evidence that you have received, the Holy Ghost will be speaking in tongue and all the nonsense they teach around. You see that in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. How will Christ come inside of you? It's a mystery. And Apostle Paul had that mystery. Amen. Apostle Paul also spoke about the mystery of godliness. How God came to earth in the flesh.
Hallelujah.
In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, and without controversy,
amen,
great is the mystery of godliness. He said, God was manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery. How can the creator of the heavens and the earth come in flesh? It's a mystery. But all this came, it came as a result of that one mystery that will be rounding up in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Then there are two other mysteries. The mystery of iniquity by Apostle Paul again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's a mystery. And the eighth mystery here is the mystery of Babylon.
That's right.
In Revelation chapter 17, verse 5 and verse 6. And while it is written there, Babylon, when he opens your understanding, upon her forehead was a name written, mystery, Babylon the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And while you are reading it, you continue to read it as mystery, Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. We know who they are referring to by the Spirit of God. It is a church. Praise God. I'm trying to be very careful so that we don't offend too many people yet, so that they can take them and hear others. If you say something now, you know, go come church again next time. Or you are watching me on television now, you just change the channel. So I want you to hear the rest, so that when you finish hearing me, if I come back now and talk to them now, you will understand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So these are the mysteries that were revealed to his servants, the prophets. But of all, we also have prophet Moses. We also have prophet Isaiah. And we also had John the Baptist that also had the revelation of this great mystery that we are talking about. John. Now let's go. Now we are going deeper. Now let's go a little bit deeper now. John, we look at these two characters, John and Moses. John is the one that saw, he saw this mystery itself. He saw how, he went to the beginning before this mystery began. God revealed it to him. Before the mystery began, God showed it to him. And when the mystery now began, God now showed Moses. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Listen carefully.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Verse 2.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh.
And the Word was made flesh
and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Please, we're going to read it again. Verse 1 and verse 2. Listen, you have to connect it. This is revelation now. You have to connect it. Verse 1 and verse 2 again.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
That Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
And that Word was God. Verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh. And,
that Word that was in the beginning was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is all we beheld him. Now listen, this is where we go back to Greek. In the beginning was the Word. This is where the mystery began. In the beginning was the Word. The Word there is Logos. Logos there is thought. God does not reveal this to you. I have read books. I have seen theologians trying to explain this John 1:1. But I give glory to God. Listen very well. In the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. And the thought was God. And that thought that he had became flesh. And all we beheld him is that he was the Son of God. That's all we do. And he came to his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him,
to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Listen, this word here, as used here, to get the proper interpretation, this is where the mystery began. God was going to create man on earth and use it as an opportunity to display his attributes. But as the principle is, he is going to put them to test. And he was going to put them to test. And he knew that when he will put them to test, they will fall. And when they fall, all will be condemned to hell. That knowledge of the effect of the fall, before man was even created, before man was created, oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God saw two groups of people on earth. He saw that if I reveal myself after they have fallen, I offer my hand of salvation to them, some will believe. He saw them. And some, no matter how you preach to them, no matter how you reveal, he reveal himself to them, they will never believe. It now projected another attribute of God called mercy. It's a merciful God. Praise the Lord. And then he started the process of how he will deliver those ones. In the beginning was the thought of how he will deliver those ones.
Salvation plan.
Oh. What is the mystery that should be finished? It is the agenda, the salvation plan of God.
Hallelujah.
He left it in a mystery. In the beginning was the thought. That thought of how he will save those, because, hallelujah, did he know your name before you were born?
Amen.
Did he know your name? Did he know right now, hallelujah, Chika is not yet married? Do you know that God knows the number of children you will have? Have you don't get anyone yet? one you will have after you are married. Do you have anyone yet? Okay. Praise the Lord. Do you know that before your father met your mother, brother, before your mother was born, God already knew that they will marry and they will give birth to you. Is it true? Praise the Lord. When God was creating Adam and Eve, he also left the serpent there. Did he know when he was creating serpent that serpent will tempt them? But he left the serpent there and even brought them close to the family. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So that you'll understand this, hallelujah. Because of it, he made provision. That word, that thought is how he will now activate the principle, the law for redemption. Man died. Man fell. Man is in bondage. It will take another man to come to deliver man. But no man was qualified. That's what we see in Revelation chapter 5. No man was qualified. Therefore, in the beginning was the plan.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
And that plan was with him. It was with him. And that plan was God himself coming down.
Yeah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So mystery, mysterious. That is the mystery of our salvation. So, here you see, he comes down. Already, the script, what is happening, there is nothing new that God is doing. He has already written the script. Oh, glory be to God.
Yeah.
It is the script of redemption.
Yeah.
Every one of us, from the beginning till today, you are only fulfilling the script.
Yeah.
Including Judas. Judas was known from the beginning. How do I know? Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Listen to the language there.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Oh, can we hear him very well?
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
When was the Lamb slain?
From the foundation of the world.
Was it in 1833?
From the foundation of the world.
From the foundation of the world, as far as God was concerned, Christ was already crucified. In his mind.
Hallelujah.
Christ was not existing physically in heaven. He was in the plan.
Amen.
He was in the plan. He was in the script. Praise the Lord. That is how Apostle Paul put it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage.
We are reading verse 3, Shile.
Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world.
Go on.
But when the fullness of the time.
Now this is the scripture I'm looking for. Verse 4, what does it say?
But when the fullness of the time was come.
When the fullness, the appointed time that God has appointed was come, what happened?
God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law.
He said, and the word was made flesh. At the appointed time set by God himself. Nothing is by accident. Before God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is this word? I repeat, it is God's plan for the salvation of mankind. And this was done before the world began. Now, if you read, now see this language, see the language now, so you can connect it. In John chapter 17, verse 5. John 17, verse 5.
And now, O Father.
Hear the prayer of Jesus. Uh-huh.
Glorify thou me with thy own self.
O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world
was.
Hey. Hallelujah. The glory that Jesus Christ had was already planned and established. There is none of us here that is going to heaven by accident. God has already known who is going. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. At 1 John chapter 1, listen to the language. Verse 1 and verse 2.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our
First
eyes.
1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. Yes?
That which was from the beginning.
Which was when?
From the beginning.
It was from the beginning.
Which we have heard.
Which we have heard.
Which we have seen with our
now
eyes.
Now we have seen with our own eyes.
Which we have looked upon.
Uh-huh.
And our hands have handled of the word of life.
Uh-huh.
For the life was manifested.
That life that was in the beginning was manifested.
And we have seen it.
We have seen it.
And bear witness.
Uh-huh.
And show unto you that eternal life.
Uh-huh.
Which was with the Father.
And which was with the Father. We are in his plan. In his thought. Uh-huh.
And was manifested unto us.
So that you understand it now. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11. See the way he put it.
And I saw heaven
opened. Read it up to verse 16.
And I saw heaven opened,
uh-huh.
And behold, a white horse,
uh-huh.
And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True,
uh-huh.
And in righteousness he doth judge and make war.
Uh-huh.
His eyes were as flame of fire,
uh-huh.
And on his head were many crowns,
uh-huh.
And he had a name written that no man knew.
But he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Mystery. Go ahead.
And he was clothed with a vesture deep
but
in blood.
But that name is going to be called later. What is the name?
And his name is called the Word of God.
Now, but he said he had a name which no man knows. But now it's written there again, the name is called what?
The Word of God.
What he's trying to tell you here is that he is that thought. He is that logos that was with God. But many people don't know who he is. Please finish that reading. Up to verse 16.
And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses,
uh-huh.
Clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Uh-huh.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations.
Uh-huh.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah. His name is the Word of God. How can somebody's name be the Word of God? Revelation. It's taking you back to John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And he sent his Word and he healed them. Oh, praise the Lord. The whole thing is summarized in God's own agenda that began before the beginning began. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is this agenda that he began to ignite. He then created Adam and Eve, created the serpent. He's doing nothing new. He's doing nothing new. Be careful so that you understand the language, Bible language. Sometimes God will descend and be talking like a man. I regret creating man. God that knows all things, why is he regretting? He's only trying to make you understand how angry he is. Using your own human language. I will wipe everything as if it was by mistake. Then you carry that thought to now go into walk out of salvation with fear and trembling. When we tell you that once you are saved, forever you are saved. Some churches will tell you, you are encouraging sin. I am not encouraging sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who will go to heaven, all that God does is he gives them the ability to live above sin. And so Apostle John could say, he that is born of God does not commit sin. So why are you saying that you can lose your salvation? Because you don't understand what is eternal life. God cannot gamble with eternal life. He to avoid that gambling, immediately man fell. Before they could receive eternal life, they fell. He said, in the estate that they are in, you give them eternal life again, that means they will live eternally in sin, in wickedness. So he withdrew eternal life. Hallelujah. And released eternal life to us now as part of the agenda. Hallelujah. So when he created that, he came as if he didn't know what was happening. Adam, where are thou? He knew what happened. It is the script. He came down now for the next item in the agenda. And asked what happened, and he pronounced judgment. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 is what is still on till now. Let's read it.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
From verse 14.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent,
yes,
because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, uh-huh, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thou shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Uh-huh. Verse 15.
And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Hey. Enmity will take place between you, Satan. Screen it again, please. Enmity between thee, you, serpent, and the woman. And you also put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head. The seed of the woman, Satan, serpent, will bruise your head. And you, Satan, you will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. So there will be fight. And who is this woman? The woman is Israel. That is the woman in Revelation chapter 12. Let's read it from verse 1.
And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
12 stars, so you can see the key there, that is Israel.
And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered.
Who is that child? It's prophecy of the coming Messiah. Isaiah gave that prophecy, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder.
And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And seven...
A description of the spirit that is ruling in Europe. The old European empires. Yes.
Verse 4. And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven.
So it's giving you the story now who that dragon is. This is his story. He rebelled in heaven and drew a third part of the angels in heaven.
And yes, he cast them to the earth.
And they cast them to this earth. So when God was creating Adam and Eve, Satan was already on the earth. Yes?
And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered.
Where is that woman? That woman is not Eve. That woman is a prophetic woman, is Israel. And you know what happened when he was born? You saw how we are all accusing Herod that he killed all the children from 2 years down, but this is the prophecy that was fulfilled. In the seed of the woman, Satan was looking for that seed to kill. Okay, now, because of that prophecy. Yes?
For to devour a child as soon as it was born. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron.
Who is that man child? Jesus. So Jesus is the seed of the woman. And Apostle Paul says so in Galatians chapter 4. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come,
yes,
God sent forth his son, made of a woman.
Made of a woman.
Made under the law.
Made under the law. The seed of the woman, because it's not the seed of any man. For that word became flesh in the womb of a virgin woman, according to the prophecy. So the summary of the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 is that there will be Christ and there will be Antichrist. The mystery continues. And they are all called, they are all mysteries, summarized into two mysteries. The mystery of iniquity. Listen, it is the mystery of iniquity that gave birth to the mystery of godliness. It is because man will fall. That is why a provision for her redemption was made. What is the mystery of iniquity? It's a mystery of how Satan took over mankind and took complete control and reduced man to what we are today. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And that is what produced the mystery of godliness. God has to come down by himself in another mystery. Hallelujah. To redeem his own.
Amen.
Are they here today?
Yes, sir.
How many people are redeemed here? How many people are redeemed here? Praise the Lord. This is the knowledge that will make you to fall in love with Jesus. If the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified him. That's why I love Judas. Judas was performing a prophetic action, and you people are busy hating him. Judas is my brother. Amen. Amen. Until you understand grace and mercy, you will be hating Judas. Lack of revelation of this mystery. Man died. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen. Listen, if not, you will come with this mentality that all of us have had it before. This was the process. Every year, you had to come before the Lord, before the temple, before the high priest, every Jew, with an animal to sacrifice. The soul that sinned shall die. But instead of you to die, mercy was projected, because he knows man cannot keep the law. So you can come, and instead of you to die, there is the scapegoat and there is also the sacrificial lamb. Instead of you to die, they'll kill the lamb, and your sins are remitted. And John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming, and he gave that prophecy. In fact, it was not prophecy, it was a discernment. He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, the mystery of God. The mystery of God. Hallelujah. Everything in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus. And the next day, John, let's read it. John 1:29.
The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Behold the Lamb of God. And before a lamb is slaughtered, hallelujah, he must go and be washed.
Amen.
And in Matthew chapter 3, he came to be baptized. Chapter 3. He came to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John, because he knew who he was, amen. He said, no, you are the one to baptize me now. He said, no, permit it to be so now. To do what? To fulfill all righteousness. You have just introduced me as the Lamb of God that taken away the sin. I have to be washed and get prepared to be slaughtered. But it will take a son of God who needs redemption, who has committed sin and deserves to die, to take the lamb. So Judas took the lamb.
Hallelujah.
To the priest,
representing us,
to be sacrificed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Judas was representing me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Judas was representing me. We sing, he died to set me free. Why do you hate Judas? His lack of revelation. They put too many negative things concerning him. But the Bible referred to him as a son of perdition. You uncle, who were you before you found Christ?
Prophesy.
Who were you before you found Christ? Hallelujah. And in Matthew chapter 12, he said, every sin against the Son of Man is forgivable. The only sin that is not forgivable is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Did Judas blaspheme the Holy Ghost? No. And secondly, hallelujah, to let you know that he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know what he was doing. He took back the money and returned it to the people that gave him the money. He said, I have betrayed an innocent person. He felt so guilty until he felt he was not worthy to live and killed himself. Jesus, hanging on the cross of Calvary, prayed for Judas. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Judas was among them. Oh, open my eyes that I may see. Oh,
these seeds of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key. Oh, shalom, Christ, I set
you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, he referred to Jesus as the wisdom of God.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Hallelujah. Why does he call him the wisdom of God? Because he, Jesus Christ, is in him is embodied all the treasures of the divine wisdom for salvation. Everything. That is why he was in the beginning, the center of our salvation, of this program, of this mystery. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3. Listen to the language.
that our hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery
of the mystery of God,
and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
In him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. William Branham preached a message, is titled, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you'll understand Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. See how he is introduced. You now understand it now.
I am Alpha and Omega.
This is Jesus. So.
The beginning and the ending. Saith the Lord which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty.
What is the meaning of the Alpha and Omega? Let's read again verse 17 of that same chapter 1.
And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last.
In verse 8, he is Alpha and Omega. And here he's saying he's the first and the last. And he repeated that in chapter 22 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 22.
I am Alpha and Omega.
He said, I am Alpha and Omega.
The beginning and the end.
The beginning and the end.
The first and the last.
The first and the last. This description here is not talking about God, the essence of God, the existence of God. No, Jesus is telling you concerning your redemption, concerning your salvation, I am the beginning of it and I am the ending of it. Hallelujah. Because in the beginning was the word, that thought. He was with God in the beginning for the purpose of our salvation. Alpha and Omega, they are the two Greek letters. The first letter in the Greek alphabet is Alpha, and the last letter in the Greek alphabet is Omega. So he is the Alpha and the Omega. So he came to English now. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the ending of our salvation. That is why he is referred to as the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This mystery of redemption is what has been going on since, from stage to stage. Man has tried to put his input into it. God doesn't bother with what anybody is saying. Make any claim, without me looking at you, he moves on. Praise the Lord. And there's nothing happening in the church of Jesus Christ, nothing happening in the world that has taken God by surprise. That is why I had calls. Olumide was telling me, let's go into the rapture watch and then look at this Islamic thing. Islam wants to take over the whole world. Islamo. They have packed them from Afghanistan now to Australia. Pack them to Europe. They are dominating very soon now. They have taken over England. They are going to take over the whole world. Praise the Lord. We all know there is an agenda going on like that. And it's a satanic agenda. It is Christ and Antichrist. Watch those who are their target. It's Christians. Praise the Lord. But let me quickly tell you, church. Hallelujah. He said, watch and pray. This divine agenda that he has given us, I have read through it. I have gone through it. I didn't see where. When he said, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying,
Okay. Yes, okay, go ahead.
Saying, tell us when shall these things be?
That what, is it, because he has prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. So that first question, when shall these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple.
And that's the first question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end
now,
of the world?
What will be the sign of your coming and the sign of the end of the world? Then he said, watch Muslims, verse 4.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Again.
Take heed that no man deceive you.
Again.
Take heed that no man deceive you.
Are Muslims deceiving us? They are killing us. They are not deceiving us, they are killing us. What deception is achieving is more than what Muslims are killing. What did he say? The next verse.
For many shall come in my name, saying,
this is what you will watch out for. Many will come in my name, saying what?
I am Christ.
I am anointed.
And shall deceive many.
And they shall deceive many. Are Muslims coming that they are anointed? No. Go ahead.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled.
So it's part of it. Muslim Christian, it's a war. It's a war. It's a what?
See that ye be not troubled.
Don't be troubled.
For all these things must come to pass.
But what?
But the end is not
the
yet.
The end is not yet. Whether it is ISIS, ISWAP, Boko Haram, what is the other one in Kenya? Whatever you call them, amen, is Satan loosed to kill. For his ministry is to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. Is it Muslims that are ritual killers now? Ritual killers are everywhere. Killing human beings, removing their part and selling. There is a spirit, Satan knows that his end has come. He is angry. Anointing people and creating terror, fear everywhere. Don't be distracted though. The one that God told us to watch is Mystery Babylon. Watch Rome. They are diverting our attention. But watch Rome.